So, anybody in any doubt what the subject of today is? Power, isn't it? Power. But when I say to you the word power, what do you immediately think of? I'd like you just to say to your neighbour, I want to engage you this morning, when I say the word power, what comes first into your mind? Can be as serious, as sensible, as silly as you like. What comes into your mind? Everybody said something to a neighbour?
Energy.
Energy. Are you running out of energy, Clara, like me? You get old. Okay, are you into it? Let's just see. I put some things here. Anybody thought of a superhero? They zoom around with power. Those, I really don't like the number of electric power bikes that zoom around Reading. Anybody else? Probably some of you are dependent on them, but they're a little bit dangerous, aren't they, to put it mildly. What about a huge waterfall? Incredible power there, isn't there? Rocket, that's even more, isn't it, going off. Those poor astronauts stuck in space. They seem to be being very brave about it. But then power failure. Anybody think of power failure? Maybe those from countries where power failures are more common. Used to be more common in England. Sean's nodding. We used to have to cope with power failures. We don't often now. Or even the awful destructiveness of power. Power's a big word, isn't it? It's a big word. Frightened of power? Like to have power? We're all at a different place, aren't we, when we say that word. But three questions this morning. Number one, is God powerful? Yes, no, maybe. Mary says yes, for sure. The Big Bang. Who was behind the Big Bang? I'm sure it was God. I think when he said, let there be light, I think that was the Big Bang, personally. You know, that's how God set it all, this amazing universe we live in. It says the moon and the stars were the work of his fingers, not even his hands, you know. Everything keeps going because of the power, the amazing power of God. We can't dwell often enough on the size of the universe, you know. It lets us see the power and the size of God. Question number two. Was that same power in Jesus? Yes? No? Maybe? Was it as great? Was it the same? We've been reading, haven't we, these first chapters of Mark, and twice with his power, it actually, the power made his friends terrified. When they caught that huge number of fish, Peter said, "Get away from me. This is too great. I can't cope with it." When the big storm was stilled, it says the disciples were terrified at the power of Jesus, what authority he has. But then the third question, can that same power, which we've had in our readings, can that same power amazingly be in us, that we can bring the power of God into the world that God has put around us? So that's a bit of what we're going to be exploring together today. Now, we're on a journey through Mark's Gospel. I'm sure everybody is realizing. We've been looking at these different statements of when the kingdom of God comes in. Why was Mark's Gospel written? Written for people that weren't Jews. It's a simple gospel. It doesn't refer really to the Old Testament, which they wouldn't have known. And it says, Mark chapter 1, verse 1, it was written about the good news of Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that people might come to believe in him. That was why it was written. This good news is a much bigger word than good news. It's amazing, astounding, earth-breaking news, okay? We don't really have an easy way to describe it. Life-changing news. Jesus was a name that many people were called, an ordinary name. Jesus was a man just like us, had a name just like many others at that time. But he was the Christ, the anointed one, the long-awaited one that was going to come and change things. But he was also God. the Son of God is a difficult thing to get hold of. I think it would be easier just to say he was God. He was God. That's why Mark's Gospel was written.
So we've been in these early chapters when Jesus was very popular. He was doing all these amazing
miracles of power. Anybody see one there that they particularly like? That shows his power? Shout one out.
Walking on the water.
Another one. Sorry? Calming the storm. That storm. We've got the feeding of 5,000 people with 5 little loaves and 2 fishes. Was that a great show of power? Again, the people were terrified. Not at the miracle, but at who Jesus was. And others there. Just as the authoritative way he taught, he was so different. So this is all in the north, okay, the poor part of Israel at that time. He came and revealed his power. But then we get to what we've had in the reading from Mary. The small circle of his disciples, Jesus wanted to know, had they got it? Had they understood? Did they recognize now who he was? 2 questions he said. He started with, who do men say that I am? So it was not personal. If I asked you that, who do the people in the street think about Jesus? That's what he was asking. And he had this answer. Some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, some say other prophets got back. In a way they were saying, some say he was a great teacher. Some say he's a great political leader. Okay, some say he's like John the Baptist, come to call people to repentance. Okay, in a way, they hadn't got it. They just saw him as a special man. Okay, who do they say out on the street? The average British person probably just thinks of Jesus as a swear word, unfortunately. You know, or if at the most, maybe, oh, he was a good man that lived a long time ago. Or he was just a make-up story. That's what you're going to get in England. Don't know about your cultures. Who do they think Jesus is? Who do they think he is? But then Jesus got more specific. But who do you say that I am? Maybe God would be saying that to some of you this morning who haven't quite made up your minds. Who do you say that Jesus is? And what did Peter reply? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That sound familiar? We've just been reading why Mark's Gospel was written, haven't we? Peter had got it, and he was willing to speak it out with his mouth. I know who you are, Jesus. You're the one that's come to save us. You're the one who is God. And all of us, don't we? We have to come to that point as we're searching for who Jesus is to be able to say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Okay, but something different then happened, didn't it? And I've drawn, can you see the graph going up and coming down? This was the high point of that graph, okay, when Jesus asked this question. Everything before had been in the north, in Galilee, and it had come up to this pinnacle of this revelation, this understanding of who Jesus was. And you'd expect the graph to go on up, wouldn't you? You'd expect Jesus to do more and more, to go to all the people of Israel, and everybody would understand who he was, and he'd live for years to teach them and make sure they really got it. Didn't happen, did it? Jesus only was there preaching like this for 3 years. Didn't sound like a success story, did it? You can think of some of your rulers who've ruled for years and years and years. The great ones, you know, and really got their message across that changed their nation, maybe. But now we have Jesus, and it's downhill now, downhill all the way to rejection, death. And I've called this the upside down kingdom. Kingdoms of men go up and up. I mean, in a way, even human kingdoms come to an end, don't they? But Jesus is very quickly became the upside down kingdom. and Mary read to us quite a bit about this. Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things, be rejected, and that he must be killed. And then he called the crowd to him. If anybody would come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. Whoever wants to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for me and for the gospel will save it. Saying things the other way up, isn't it? But he's saying to us all, you've got to walk the same journey as me. You've got to walk that same journey. Because this is the way to have my power in you. My strength made perfect in weakness. It's the way of humility, the way of dying to self, the way of going the low way, the humble way. Taking up your cross. That's a funny expression, isn't it? Taking up your cross. In those days, the people that took up their cross, there was only one way ahead of them, and that was to death, wasn't it? Jesus had to carry his cross all the way to Calvary and die. And in a way, that's what it means to carry your cross. It's saying, yes, I'm dying to myself. I'm not going to turn around. Well, in a way, those folk had no choice. They had to go. We do have choice. But it's that daily saying, yes, I take up my cross again. I'm going to die to self because I want the presence and the power of Jesus to live in me. It's kind of the cost of becoming a Christian. There's wonder and joy and glory about becoming a Christian, but there's also the demand of cost. Jesus has to be Saviour and our Lord. If someone's a Lord, then we bow the knee, don't we, and obey and follow. But it's to become more and more like Jesus. What glory to want, above everything else, to become like Jesus. But then, what happened? The last little bit that Mary read, they went up the mountain and they saw Jesus transfigured. You get the verse about the kingdom of God coming with power. You know, go home and read this little passage in Mark, because it's all part of the picture, isn't it? That transfiguration. They saw Jesus in dazzling white. Little thing, whiter than anybody can bleach. Do you think that was thrown in for housewives that try and bleach white stuff? More whiter than anybody can possibly bleach. They saw his glory and they saw his power. But after that, we start on this journey south to Jerusalem. Do you remember, again, what we read out? Peter rebuked him. No, this can't be. You've got it wrong. Don't do it. And Jesus was as bold as to say, Satan, get behind me. Because that was Satan's temptation. And we may have that temptation too. Oh, the cost is too great. You don't really have to do that. You can be an easygoing Christian. Okay? But Jesus says, no, take up your cross daily and follow me. And at the end of it, what did they see? They saw the power of the resurrection. Shall we read it again? This was in Ephesians. God's power is like the working of his mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms far above these rules and authorities, powers and dominions of Satan. Okay, and every title that is given to man, everything that Satan is in all his strongholds. The reason the Son of Man came was to destroy the work of the evil one. That was what he did. After that, Jesus was with his disciples, Acts 1, for 40 days. For those 40 days, it says he was talking about the kingdom of God. Oh, I'd love to have been there. Wouldn't you love to have been there? What was he saying? What was he telling them? Was he just saying, this is for you now. This is for you now. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You will be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And then at Pentecost, of course, the power of God came on them. They were completely changed people. They'd been so afraid, hiding away, timid, denying Jesus. They were changed into men with power and authority on them. I've just thrown out there three little scenes from Acts. Good Sunday school teachers will recognize them. Peter healing the beggar at the gates going up into the temple. That day when, amazingly, Peter was rescued by an angel from prison and walked right out. The day when Paul, dangerous, deadly stake, bit him. But nothing, no harm came to him, and he just threw it into a fire. Right through Acts, we've got the power of God, let alone the power of God through people's teaching, to bring thousands and thousands to know Jesus. So we come back to that third question. Can this same power be in us and work through us? Yes? No? Maybe? It's what we do at RE Inspired with the schools at the end of... Let's see what we think. Again, we read in Ephesians chapter 1, Paul prays that we might know the incomparably great power for us who believe. That same power that raised Jesus from death. So this wasn't just those first disciples that had been at Pentecost, okay? This was years later. The church in Ephesus, in Turkey. Paul was fully expectant that this same power would go on being seen, manifest, encourage, you know, there for people. Is it still there for us today? Can we have an expectation to live in the power of God today? So what actually is this power at work in us? First and foremost, it has to be the power for new birth. When we become Christians, when we say yes to Jesus, something amazingly powerful happens. We're born again. It's a bit of a mystery, but once you've experienced, you know what's happened. You know that you've changed. You know that it's no longer you living, but Christ living in you. You have truly been born again to be a new creation. God's power has come to live in you. Something dramatically has changed. For some of us, it's a little bit gradual, but for many of us, it's something we experience. You can say the day it happened, and you know that you're a different person. The gospel is the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes. There's power now. You've come out of the kingdom of darkness, where Satan just rules and reigns in your life. You've come into the kingdom of light, where you are in a place of victory. Satan's still there, but you're in a place of victory over what he might throw at you and do in your life. So that's the power there. Then we've got the power to become more like Jesus, like the melting ice, okay? There is this journey now of the power of God daily coming into you to change you. You are being transformed day by day by day. I'm not who I was, but I'm not also who I will be. God has more work to do in me so that the beauty of Jesus can be more and more seen in me. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power, love, self-control. Okay, we can receive this. We can reach out for it day by day. But then, do we have the power to do the things that Jesus did? The healings, the deliverances, the speaking with authority, whatever is needed as you go about your daily. Are you able to quickly pray for people with faith when they have a need, an illness, a practical need, an emotional pain? You know, Jesus said in John 14, anyone who has faith in me will do what I've been doing. He will do even greater things, because I'm going to the Father. Just dwell on that for a minute. Certainly the even greater things are taking the message of who he is and what he can do around the world, isn't it? We are such a wonderful mixture from all over the world because those promises have been taken hold of. People have gone round the world. It says, didn't it? To the ends of the earth that power will go to change lives, to bless people, to heal people. It's gone. Sinead from Ethiopia. You know, she heard the gospel at home. Wonderful, isn't it? Because at some stage there were some faithful people that went to Ethiopia. For Hungary, seeing Anna Marie next to her, you know? It's gone round the world, and we are the living testimony here of the power of God coming together. So, as we come to a little bit of an end here, but it's not an end. It should be a beginning, shouldn't it? Because we're going to plug in. We're going to plug into the power of God. We're going to allow his power to go on changing us, to be faithful. What shall I say? Hair dryers of his power into the world, whatever imagery you find helpful. Two challenges then to finish. The challenge of the upside down kingdom. This power comes from self-denial, emptying ourselves, taking up our cross like Jesus did. His way through to demonstrating the resurrection power to us was through that downhill walk of humility, brokenness and death. And the path is the same for us. The more broken we are, the more God can use us. The less of self is exerting itself, the more God can use us. But then the challenge to live plugged in to God's power. Just go back to these two images that I want you to take home and remember during the week. Thank you. And God bless you all with that, the power of God, the power of God in your lives.
Thank you, Jill. One of the prophets said, it's not by...